you're the enemy and the man. You're the man, and not a, you're the man in the Joan Cusack School of Rock kind of way. All right. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Okay, America's back. She's on hold. Okay. So have her hang tight here. America and her father, Ed. We'll get to her interview. And Marcus, you need to answer that that Coca-Cola energy burning question interview. Jim Roop's going to be up just a short while. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian as well. Don't forget, the show is live tomorrow, at least halfway to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tomorrow. First couple hours, Tim Savage from Timnasium is going to be here, along with Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley, etc. And then best ofs from 1 till 3. Coming up this hour, though, we're going to be giving away some of those Star Wars OMSI tickets. So be listening for that. Without further ado, though, ladies and gentlemen, he's your personal savior, the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, North Korea has taken center stage today at a meeting between top members of President Bush's national security team and a senior Chinese diplomat. Oregon's own Senator Gordon Smith says, unfortunately, it looks like we're getting into another arms race.
Thing the world needs, and again, the other last thing the world needs is an anxious wholesaler like North Korea will be for terrorists. But that's the kind of world we're living in.
He said we need to get tough on North Korea.
It seems like when it comes to actually doing anything meaningful in diplomacy, everybody gets weak in the knees. And yet when it comes time to actually doing anything militarily, everybody runs for the hills.
Well, I mean, that's if the Democrats are smart, which they are not, and if they have any stones, which they typically don't, then they're going to bring this up. But, I mean, there really is no, God, this North Korea thing, I mean, it's not like... anybody doesn't know, but there's just no good end to this. There is no good ending to this whole scenario, because either A, we're just going to go, well, you shouldn't have it. Nope. Go to bed early. I mean, we're just not going to be able to do anything, and they're just going to have a nuclear weapon, because and no one seems to disagree that they were trying to set one off, and the only disagreement is whether or not it actually happened. And France this morning said that they didn't think they did, but who knows, and blah, blah, blah. So... we either just got to sort of suck it up and bite the bullet and they have a nuclear weapon, or we got to just put our foot down and say that they're not going to have a nuclear weapon, which the problem, I'm sorry, America, I'm sorry that you have to hear this horrible language on hold, corrupting young minds. The problem is, as I see it, that having set this precedent of invading Afghanistan... just, you know, and because there might be bad guys there invading Iraq because they might be developing weapons of mass destruction. If we know North Korea has one, it seems like we are hoisted by our own petard. It's like we have no choice but to plunge on ahead and go in there and clean house, which, of course, is going to be an equally bad idea. So there is, we are between a rock and a pointy thing.
Well, President Bush is discrediting a report that more than 500,000 Iraqis have died as a result of the Iraq war. He says he cast doubts on this report.
I don't consider it a credible report. Neither does General Casey, and neither do Iraqi officials.
He's too busy incorrectly counting days of the month.
Once again, this report is not credible.
No question it's violent, but this report is one they put it out before. It was pretty well, the methodology is pretty well discredited.
He does not believe the numbers.
I stand by the figure a lot of innocent people have lost their life. 600,000 or whatever they guessed at is just, it's not credible.
Yeah, of course.
He does mourn dead Iraqis.
It's completely implausible. All right.
Katie Couric is getting ready to head over to the David Letterman set, and she reports, I'm feeling that queasy feeling in my stomach.
Yes, that's the feeling of being in third place.
I've always watched David. He is hilarious, and I enjoy watching him more from the comfort of my bed. Back in days when I could stay up late and watch, than in the chair next to his bed. Oh, his desk, I'm sorry. Not surprisingly, most people who make their living asking questions, I don't love having the tables turned, but tonight, I'm going to try it out and have a good time.
God, you know there's some memo coming down from somebody at CB. Get her out there in public and tell people to watch. No one's tuning in.
The studio is freezing. I've heard that's supposed to make people laugh more. I'm not sure how, but it's more than an urban legend. I mean, just thinking about it makes me feel awkward.
She sounds really exciting. It's hard to believe that no one's tuning in record numbers to watch her newscast. I'm sure this will turn it around. We've done our part. Attention, CBS. We have done our part.
Anyway, back to tonight. Basically, they do a free interview with you the day or morning of the appearance and ask you funny stories. I had none, God help me.
Stories? I have no stories.
And what's been going on in your life? Nothing new here.
Oh,
You see, this is going to be genius. She's brilliant.
So we'll see how it goes. I wish I could have a glass of wine, but since I'm coming back to do the evening news, that wouldn't be prudent.
Yeah, I'd watch if I thought she was going to be liquored up. If I thought that, I'm telling you right now, attention, can I dial out on this phone? I don't have her number. If she might be in my Motorola Q directory, though. Sumner Redstone was for a while. Really, if you were doing the news, there's no reason she couldn't do the news drunk. There's no law against it. The guy operating the camera has to be sober. Katie Couric, I'm telling you this right now, needs to start doing the news while drunk. It's a great idea. I would completely watch. I would totally watch that. All right.
Anyway, thanks for letting me blow off some steam and a little anxiety. I'll keep you posted when I come back.
Thank you, Katie Couric. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Tim Riley. We'll check in once more at the bottom of the hour here before we wrap things up today. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the City of Angels, CNN radio correspondent and golden god, Jim Rowe. Hello, sir.
Hello, my king. How are you?
Rolling along, brother. Rolling along. Hey, let's talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger for a second. I know you call about something else. And also, how do you feel about hanging out here to be part of a spelling bee? No, seriously.
Are you serious?
Here's the thing. You don't have to spell. You just have to witness it. We have Scotty J, who is our call screener.
Uh-huh.
Scotty J is 40 years old.
All right.
And has what we're referring to is a little bit of a general fuzziness when it comes to spelling things correctly. He spelled emoticon. Let's see. He spelled emoticon E-M-O-D-E-C-A-U-N.
Really?
Which is sort of emoticon, sort of a thing. And so, but we got these, we have tickets to this Star Wars science exhibit that's in town. And so we decided we were going to do a, because we have a fixation on spelling bees on this program, but we didn't think it'd be fair for Scotty J to go up against an adult, you know, a listener. So what we do is we have an 11-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's going to try to give him a run for his money. So there's sort of a few. This girl, her name, I swear to God, is America. And America, she will be spelling off against Scotty J here in a moment. So she and her dad can get tickets to go see the OMSI Star Wars exhibit and win a copy of Return of the Jedi. So all you have to do is just kind of hang out and listen.
Yeah, I'll be happy.
Fantastic. All right. Real quickly, let's talk about a couple of these things. First of all, I got to ask you the Schwarzenegger thing. Did you think this is the thing that Schwarzenegger, man, this guy's a bad time to be a Republican, and an even worse time to be a Republican named George W. Bush. Schwarzenegger, last night on Leno, doing everything he could to distance himself from George W. Bush. He was saying, aligning me with George W. Bush is like aligning me with an Oscar.
Yeah.
Which is genius. I mean, that guy, whoever, I don't know if he writes his own gags. He probably doesn't. But whoever writes his sort of lines, man, that guy, he knows what people like. And it's the fact that that's the Schwarzenegger that we all like. That self-effacing, modest, self-deprecating Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, He had an easy time on Leno last night. I mean, it was a nice softball game.
Well, nobody has a tough time on Leno.
You know? Well, I mean, that's true.
Is it true that... Who is the woman, the Democrat, that's demanding equal time on Jay Leno?
No, that's Angelides. Phil Angelides, the guy who's running against
him. Oh, okay. All right. And it's just sort of like...
So, looks like a woman. That's all.
So it's, I mean, every time that Schwarzenegger would go on Leno, then this guy would have to go on, too.
This guy wants to go on, yeah.
Right.
But NBC is calling the Leno show a news program, and it was just... They were interviewing a political candidate. They don't have to give him equal time.
It's a news program?
That's rich.
What sort of a break... Wait, this just in, Jay Leno is an untalented hack. There you go. There's your news. That's the news that they break.
I thought that was a good one.
Hey, let me ask you this. Would you be more inclined to watch the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric if you knew she was going to be drunk?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. She's fallen to third place. We've done... Brother, the Rick Emerson Show gives. We have given, we have promoted, we have advertised, we have encouraged.
She should drink while she's doing the news.
I would completely watch that. If you do like a Hunter Thompson thing, bourbon in one hand, a cigar in the other.
Deliver some kind of, you know, Iraqi numbers of dead go up. I need a drink. Hey, take a shoot of a wild turkey or something and keep going.
God damn it. I'm sorry, America. I keep swearing and she's on hold. Gosh darn it. I'm telling you right now. I am calling out right now. I am claiming that. The news guy getting drunk while he does the news.
Yeah.
I'm calling that and I'm going to exercise my prerogative as program director, and I'm going to have a news show, and it's just going to be called A Guy Reads the News While Getting Drunk.
I'll tell you, that's more interesting to me, and I would tune in to see that. Before, I would tune in to see that naked news thing where they take the clothes off.
Who cares?
Yeah, because nothing new is going to happen there.
Seriously, what do you...
The guy's drinking.
Unless you got a fourth nipple. you know.
But if a guy's drinking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That something's going to come out of his mouth that just shouldn't.
All right, that's there you go. And you know, if I maybe you can fill in on that show. If the guy isn't able to come in and drink 1 week, we'll get you into doing it.
Oh, gee, you'd have to twist my arm.
You could do that.
Yeah, in a minute I'd be there.
Hey, real quickly before we do the spelling bee here, which is a weird thing, a thing you don't typically hear on a talk radio program, and especially in a hot talk format. Tell me about this American who's being charged with, what is it, aiding comforting Al Qaeda or some crap?
Treason.
Treason?
Yeah.
I didn't think anybody really got charged with that.
Well, it hasn't happened very often. I mean, last time it happened was like 50 years ago, and it's only happened a few dozen times in all of our history. It's a pretty serious charge. I mean, that comes with a death penalty if you're...
Yeah, they hang you for that.
Yeah. I think now it's a firing squad, though.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, you know, Adam Gedan is the guy who grew up in Southern California, and he's the one that, 95 or something, decided to become a Muslim. Just the guy you've seen in some of these Al-Qaeda videos talking about American streets will run red.
Is this another white guy?
He is.
Oh, God.
He is.
This is posing, isn't it? Is this just more college posing?
But he's 28 years old.
Good God.
You know. They're looking for him now. They think he's in Pakistan or somewhere near Pakistan, and now he's wanted for treason, and that boy can never come home.
No, that's it. Hey, what am I asking this? Where is John Walker Lind?
I have no idea.
That's another guy. He's like, he's like the
Taliban.
He's like those Waco guys that suddenly they just vanished and you never heard from them again. That guy's in a room having his testicles put in a drawer. Sorry, America.
I think he was definitely whacked out at the time they found him.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like you get the, people, look, follow whatever your faith is, whatever your heart says or whatever. But, I mean, it's the first thing. Everybody thinks the same thing. When you see some nutcase white guy who looks like Fidel Castro, and you hear that he's converted to Islam and, you know, death to Americans, and you just think he's just, I remember seeing a picture of the house where John Walker Lind grew up in. Mm-hmm. It's just some spoiled-ass white guy, and just desperately trying to be rebellious and different, and that was his mechanism to do so.
Well, this Gedan guy, he grew up on a farm in Riverside. So he's not a rich white guy, but his family background is,
nutty?
Less than desirable.
Yeah, nutty and crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enough of this. Enough of my John. Let's welcome now Scotty. Can you please now to the Scotty J, if you can just welcome us to get into the thing and to beam me up. America.
Yeah?
Hi there. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Okay. So here's what we're going to do, America. Now, I spent a long time since I've run a spelling bee. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth between you and Scotty J. Now, here's the thing. Scotty J is 40 years old. And it misspells things constantly. So I feel like you've got a good leg up here, America.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. We have chosen a list of words. These are middle school words. We will give you a word. And then, don't worry about all the dumb spelling bee, but you have to say it three times.
Now, are we going to allow Scotty J to write it on a piece of paper?
No,
I'm going to.
It's a spelling bee.
You're going against an 11-year-old.
And it's a spelling bee.
Well,
you don't get to make up your own rules.
She can grab a piece of paper and write
it. She's not. She's
when
not
I write
the way
stuff,
you're supposed
then
to
then
do
I can
it.
See it. I can't see it in the air.
Why do you have to be a crybaby about everything?
You're looking to see it in the air, Scotty. You're looking to see it in your mind.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a writing bee.
It's hollow in there.
Put the pen down. You have to.
I need to shake it.
Okay.
All right. See, America, he's a crybaby. So the deal is, I will give you the word, America, and then don't worry about like if to say everything. It's just, you know, all you have to do is spell it correctly, and then Scotty J, same thing. We'll give you a word. You got to spell it correctly. Sarah, do you want to alternate back and forth so there's no complaints of favoritism?
Yeah.
And just to keep it totally, I will let you go first, Sarah. Ask America a word, and then I'll ask Scotty J a word. And then we'll, you know, just kind of go back and forth. Jim Roop is here to be an impartial moderator. And we'll do,
proud of it, Dan.
I don't know, we'll do like an odd number. We'll pick an odd number. We'll stop whenever. How many, do you want me to say in advance how many words we're going to do? Put your hand down, Scotty.
No, let's just.
We got to stop at a certain
10?
Point. 10?
No, that's too much.
Oh, shut your hole. God, such a whiner. America, don't grow up to be a whiner. Nobody takes you seriously.
Okay.
Scotty J is not a role model. All right, we'll do 10. And then at the end, we'll see if Scotty J is able to best. And now the good news is, of course, Scotty J, is that you lose regardless. There's no good ending here.
That's what I was going to ask. What do I win out of this?
All right, Sarah, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah, ask America. Sarah Dillon's going to give you a word to spell.
Okay, America?
Yeah?
Spell calculator.
Calculator?
Calculator.
Let me just think about it for a little bit.
Let me just grab a pen.
Why don't you just be quiet?
Okay, do not
don't
heckle the 11-year-old.
You're heckling a girl. What are you doing?
I can spell it right now.
No one wants to, you know... Why
I'm not, because I'm not that
cause
stupid.
Trouble.
You're trying to call me out on the math.
Okay.
All right, calculator.
C-A-L-C-U-L-A-T-O-R.
Calculator, very good.
Correct.
Well done. Well done, America. Good. What is it? What? What is that facial expression?
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, don't.
Are you going to accuse the child of cheating?
It just smells fishy, that's all.
Are you accusing America of cheating? America?
I could have whipped it off and said that.
Don't use the phrase whip it off when there's a girl on the phone.
Okay.
America?
Yeah?
Good job, America.
Nice
job.
Okay, just be quiet, Scotty. Don't try to trash. Don't try to get in the girl's head. Now we have to make sure. Now this is, we have to just ask this because Scotty wants to make sure because he's a skeptic. Now you are spelling these yourself without assistance.
Yep.
Without input from others.
Nope.
All right, just checking because
she's very trustworthy.
Scotty cannot take being beaten
than
by
the
a girl.
Scotty J.
Seriously. All right, Scotty.
All right, Rick, you prick one.
All right, Scotty. Junction, as in conjunction. Junction. What's your function?
J-U-N-C-T-I-O-N.
Very well done.
Wow.
Look at you bringing your A game. All right.
I took vitamins.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, why don't you pick one for America this time?
All right, America. America. The word is, let's see here. How about activity?
Activity.
They all came out of the same curriculum list. Don't roll your eyes at me. Activity. As in, we're going to go engage in productive activity.
Okay. A-C-T-I-V-T-Y.
Oh.
So close.
Sadly, no. Actually, sadly, you left out
another chance.
Let's give her, yes. Let's do just one more time.
Well, let's make it plural. Activities.
Hold on. What's that, Jim?
He's 11 years old. Give her another shot. It's a lot of pressure, man.
It is true. All right. Do you want to give her one more? Okay, how about this? How about proceed, as in, pay your money and then proceed to the exit? What? Who's laughing? What is so funny?
Just pay your money and then proceed to the exit.
I don't know. It's hard to put these in sentences. All right, America, the word is proceed.
P-R-O... E-D-E? I got it wrong.
I'm sorry, I couldn't... I actually didn't hear...
I think I heard her say C-E-E-D.
That's what I heard.
I heard
that.
Jim Rope?
C-E-E-D. That's exactly what I
heard. All right,
good job,
that's another one for America.
We'll take back if you want.
All right,
all right, I have one for Scotty J.
All right, Scotty J.
Scotty J. Spell professor.
P-R-O-F. There's where I get stuck. It'll be two Fs or one. There we go. P-R-O-F-F. E-S-S-O-R.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, are we keeping score here?
No.
Okay, but you're losing, though.
See, that's the problem.
You're losing. All right.
The doubles.
All right, here, let's see. we'll just do a couple more here. All right, let's see. Calendar, America, as in the...
That word's hard.
January is the first month on the... Well, these are all... We should know these are all coming out of the same curriculum. We found a grade curriculum. These are all coming out of the same. January is the first month on the calendar. Please spell calendar,
calendar.
America.
Calendar.
Calendar.
C-A-L-E-N-D-E-R.
Close enough.
That was a vowel, though. It's a vowel. I think a vowel should count.
I think so, too.
I think so.
I'm playing by the same rules.
You know, she did spell. That is a word. The word she spelled is a word.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a machine with rollers for giving paper.
That's what I was talking about. When you're printing a calendar,
yeah.
The first month you have to print is January.
Exactly.
It is the first month in the calendar machine.
That is a word.
Well done. All right, Scotty. I'll give you one here. Scotty, please now to be spelling prejudice.
Oh, now that's not
as
easy.
As in?
It's not easy at
all. As in, do not be a person who takes part in bigotry or prejudice because it makes you look like a tool.
Okay. Yeah.
I want you to be the moderator.
See, if I wrote this on paper, it would be a piece of cake, and I want to go P-R-E... DJ C. Stop for a second.
No,
just stop. I'm
so
not done.
Wrong.
No, I'm not done.
You're already wrong.
Well, you're not supposed to tell me I'm wrong.
All right,
until
try it again. I'll give you another try. Try it again. See, even Rupert
no,
Rup is heckling.
P R E, right? Pre.
You can't look for me for approval on partial words.
J U D I C E.
Very good. A second time around, you got it.
Because you know.
Because
this stuff,
I told you that your first attempt was wrong.
No. It's all this stuff going on, you know.
Stuff like having to sit?
Yes.
It's all just having to sit and spell at the same time. All right, let's give America one more, and then we'll bring the curtain down on this whole shameful thing.
Is it mine?
And then we'll get Jim Roop's final thoughts on this.
Okay, America?
Yeah.
All right. Spell famous.
As in? Famous. As in
you... Less spells of the rich and the famous.
You will be famous someday, and Scotty will not.
Okay. F-A-M-O-U-S.
Well Yay! Done. Well done, America. Fantastic.
Scotty's hanging his head in shame. Does Scotty get one more, too?
What would be the point? We'll give him one more just to amuse ourselves. Please.
Give him with double letters. Remember, that's what he said he has problems with.
All right. Please now with double letters.
And the I's before the E's, too, thing.
Please now to be spelling.
Okay. I have
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Spell mightily.
Oh, I didn't even see this second page.
M-I-G-H-T. L.
No, 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 so wrong.
No, I got mite. I got mite, right?
You got mite.
What do you mean?
I got mite. I-L-L-Y.
No, you're wrong.
Okay.
You're so no. Just
what
stop.
About mitten?
M-I-T-T-E-N.
I just wanted
there you
increase
go.
The self-esteem.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. Jim Roop?
Yeah.
There you go. The education of America's youth begins with the Rick Emerson Show.
I think we might have gone too far.
Has the Rick Emerson Show gone
That's
too
impossible.
Far?
Scotty just ran out.
Scotty just stomped out. All right. America?
Yeah?
Hey, congratulations. You beat a 40-year-old man.
That's great.
Well done. You and your dad are going to go see the OMSI Star Wars exhibit, and you got a copy of Return of the Jedi on DVD. Can you put your dad back on?
Yeah.
Hey, and
Good job, America.
Yeah?
Hey, America, final thoughts for me. Just by the way, what grade are you in again? Sixth?
Sixth, yeah.
Okay, again, don't take any guff from people, and your teachers are wrong about half the stuff that they tell you. Just
okay.
so you know. All right? Just so you're aware of that fact.
Ask questions.
Just
because they tell you it is, ask why.
I was going to say, don't believe anything without finding out why.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Put your dad back on, please.
Okay.
Thank you, America.
Did you see her cheering?
All right. Hey, Ed?
Yeah?
Heck of a daughter you got there, Ed.
What?
Okay. Ed, I'm going to put you on hold. You and America are going to see the OMSI Star Wars exhibit, where science meets imagination, and you got a copy of Return of the Jedi and DVD, and my undying respect, sir.
Right on. That's great.
All right, thank you, Ed. I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. All right, there you go. Thank you. All right. There you go, Jim Roop. Aren't you? You can say you were here. Someday when that girl's president, you can say you heard her here doing the spelling bee.
It's gold, baby.
All right, my brother. Enjoy. I'm not going to be here tomorrow, by the way. In case you call in tomorrow, and there's a kid named Tim Savage. Kid. A guy named Tom Savage. Tom Savage.
How you doing?
Hello. How do you spell Tim again? If you call in tomorrow and you were talking to a guy named Tim Savage, I'm out of town tomorrow. He may or may not be speaking to you, but he will be the guest host on tomorrow's program,
sir. Okay, well, I will treat him with the utmost respect.
All right, and I told him that you are irreverent. So, there you go. Brother, enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. You too, man.
Thank you. There you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. All right, back after this, it's a Rick Emerson radio program. Like Alec Baldwin.
Was I wrong?
You think I'm effing with you? I am not effing with you. Mitch and Murray. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that they did a whole thing on you and him.
Oh,
I was told
God.
That by a guy who knows a guy. All right. What is this, Tim Riley?
I don't know.
I'm sorry?
It was just sitting here. So I don't know if that's
are we giving away tickets to see Aaron Tippett at Chinook Winds Casino? Are we giving away two tickets to see Cats on opening night?
Oh, I didn't see the bottom of it. I just saw questions. I didn't.
I'm unclear about what this is. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Just a few. We'll have Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. In the meantime, in between time, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Chocolate or beer? Now, lovers of brew and sweets, gonna have to make a choice. Miller Brewing Company is launching a new holiday beer.
Oh, no.
That has chocolate beer.
Chocolate beer.
But you're going to have to go to the Midwest to get it. Wisconsin, Chicago, Minneapolis, Cleveland, and Indianapolis. They're testing it out.
Or next to the deep-fried Marzi bars.
These are, let's see here, $6 for a four-pack.
All right.
Jennifer Aniston telling Oprah today that she and Vince Vaughn are still on. According to audience members inside the show, Aniston said the couple has not split and is not engaged, as some tabloids have reported. She also addressed the recent rumors that she had breast implants.
She totally did.
Saying simply that when she gains weight, it goes straight to her chest.
I don't know, man. It's on the cover of It's Not Us Weekly. Is it, what's that new magazine that's got the picture of her boobs? Is it People?
Us.
And it's,
you're talking about Tara Reid?
No, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh.
And her face doesn't look any fatter.
Star?
Maybe. Her face, not that she was fat, but I mean, her face doesn't look any fuller, but yet her bust line seems, relatively speaking, to have grown. So, I mean, has any woman, I mean, unless it's a really, really obvious case like Pam Anderson, they always deny, right? That's the thing, is no one ever really, unless you have to admit it, i.e. Tara Reid, no one ever admits to that. Like, no one ever comes out and says, yeah, just got him. No one, that's the thing. It's like, that's something that, by definition, you can never believe that. It's like the hairpiece thing. You can never believe that. All right, here's Tim Riley.
When Walt Disney created his famous cartoon characters, his emphasis was on family entertainment. But Mickey Mouse, Minnie, and Goofy have gone against their creator's vision by simulating sex on smutty internet video. The footage, which is certain to be banned from Disney's official merchandise, shows Goofy grabbing Minnie Mouse from the behind. She pulls herself away, then is cornered for more faint sex with a giant snowman. In another scene, Mickey Mouse, the children's favorite, gets in on the act with a snowman. The video is thought to have been shot using a concealed camera.
That's what I mean. It's not cartoons. This is like them backstage at Disney. This is some Disney employees, actors, as they say. Cast members backstage in the Disney, the big furry Disney suits, like getting a whole lot of, you know, and I saw stills from it. It's horrifying, unless you're a plushie or a furry, in which case it's probably fantastic. It really is terrifying, though.
The video is, a French voiceover announces Disneyland backstage. It's hot.
Fantastic. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, world's greatest newsman.
Oh,
thank you
disturbing.
So much. All right, they know it is terrifying. It really is awful. Speaking of, let's bring on. Let's see, do I have a sound effect for Peter Carlin here? Let me find with the. Peter Carlin joining us now for the Oregonian. Hello, brother.
Hey, man, I missed a little bit of that Disney thing. What was that about?
Okay, here's the thing. It's so horrifying. And then it leads me to another horrifying thing that I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
There was this video that leaked out, and it was filmed backstage, as they say. It was like in the dressing room area at Disneyland with a bunch of the character cast members. Steve and I talk like a Disney person. A bunch of the people who are inside the character suits.
Yeah.
And I'm unclear about whether it's real sex, like through some sort of an opening, or whether it's just fully simulated. But it's like Disney, or it's like Mickey and a. It's Minnie and Mickey groping each other. Then it is Minnie having sex with, quote, a large snowman character. Then Mickey joins in. And someone filmed this and released it, and it's now surfaced on the internet with, like, a French voiceover.
Was it shot at Euro Disney or something?
That's a good question. I don't know that the story specifies which Disneyland it was actually shot at.
But I think at Euro Disney, that's actually part of the performance. they do that for the kids.
It's a spicy sort of... They have a rather saucy attitude towards... that's a thing that will immediately then become popular online among other plushies. And the furries, you know, which is a subculture that we never knew about until the internet. It took the internet to bring us, to alert us to such things.
Mm-hmm.
But and so, but this brings me to this story, which is the last time I was in Burbank, California. I stayed, because I'm all high class, I stayed at a travel lodge, and because that's how I roll. And at the travel lodge, have you seen the bar of soap? You know, because you get the little miniature bar of soap in your hotel room.
Yeah.
When is the last time you stayed in a travel lodge? Was it this decade?
No. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
All right. Well, let me just tell you this.
If I ever did, it was probably in the 90s.
If anybody has seen a travel, stayed at a travel lodge recently, do you know the travel lodge? They have that little mascot, and it's the bear with the sleepy hat on.
Sleepy Bear. Yeah.
Sleepy. Is that his actual name?
That's what I called him when I was a young man.
When you were a wee one?
When I was a little one. A little fleshy man.
It's the bear with the sleeping cap. Okay. I don't know how to properly describe this. I got to scan it and put it on my website. The bar of soap now that you get in the hotel room, and this has got to be some way to try to, this has got to be some kind of viral marketing where they are trying to capture a small but lucrative demographic while at the same time not alienating anybody who doesn't know how to read the signs. It's got to be.
Well, come on.
Seriously, if you look at the bar of soap in the travel lodge now, it says, it's a black wrapper, and in white letters, it says body in big letters, yeah, like the Hollywood sign.
Uh-huh.
And then the Travelodge bear, and it's not a drawing, it's like a photograph. The Travelodge bear is stretched out provocatively and draped over the word body, like Marilyn Monroe.
You believe that they're marketing to the plushie subculture?
I'm saying this. Plushies, by definition, have a limited social circle and are probably geeks. I'm guessing they have a lot of disposable income. They have a lot of conventions, right? That's a thing. They have a lot of conventions. They have a lot of get-togethers sort of at hotels and things like that because there aren't enough of them in any one city to really have an active social circle. Plushies and furries have a lot of get-togethers at conventions and hotels. This is a way to subtly get those dollars while at the same time not offending any of the sort of, you know, the straights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's genius. I'm going to start that urban legend today, even if it's not true.
I'm down with that. I'll help you.
I have, however I can. I have got to show you the show.
On HBO. Have you ever seen that? It comes on late, like on week, well, I don't know, the late, the off hours, like way after all the kids are supposed to be in bed. It's called Real Sex, and it's like a documentary show.
I used to watch Real Sex like in the early days, and then, like, I don't know. It's like you can only see a woman being covered in, like, syrup and strawberries so many times before it loses its appeal.
Well, but then the amazing thing is the one episode that I saw that stuck in my imagination had to do with people who allegedly or were purporting to be involved in a kind of a plushie-style subculture that involved one half of the couple pretending to be a pony and the other half of the couple pretending to own the pony and do all the grooming and riding and stuff.
I see stuff like that is way, it's not arousing, but it is like way more fascinating to me than just, well, I like to be tied down and beaten with a hammer, you know, or whatever the bondage, you know, the typical
hammer.
Yeah.
But then we have a lot to talk about. No, but, because what my quest, this inspired me several questions. First of all, how does this occur to you? Like that would be an interesting thing to do. And B, once it has occurred to you and you've bought into it and made the big sale and thought, well, this is how I want to kind of center my life, how do you find the other people?
That's okay.
How do you even begin that conversation? Like when you're dating somebody, say.
You have tapped into something that fascinates us. And by us, I mean me on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, it's your show and you're the program director. So it's like you can speak of yourself in the first
place. I think maybe I'll start subtly advertising to furries. No, but I think about the internet and I used to have this conversation with people about, you know, a certain very specialized skills, like one of those freakishly good guitar guys, like an Eric Clapton, you know, or a Steve Vai, or on the athletic scale, like a Michael Jordan type. And I used to say to myself, well, what would Eric Clapton do if he'd been born 300 years or whatever it is, you know, in an era where there was no guitar? Like, you always wonder how many of those guys have some freakish skill and they're just born in the wrong time or culture and they can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is with furries and plushies. I think about those guys a lot and I'm like, well, before the internet, they were just screwed. Because literally, you would never tell anybody about that. And there was, before the, people forget what it was like before the net, there was no way to research it. No way to find other people who were into that.
Well.
And so you just lived and died your whole life never telling anybody, never pursuing it. And it is fascinating to me. And you do wonder to what extent it's a cyclical thing where the internet doesn't create, but certainly nurtures that fetish. Like, did that fetish even exist before the internet?
Did it exist before they were casting around for something to do on HBO's Real Sex?
That's what I'm saying. These things, I am, Sarah is convinced that I have a foot fetish. I do not.
Talk about feet a lot.
But I do talk about the foot fetish a lot because I find it really fascinating. Because it's part of that whole, because it is a weird variant. It's an offshoot of that whole nature-nurture thing. And, you know, where there's always one whack job group or another trying to prove that, you know, like, you only turn gay if you get locked in a closet and beaten with a sausage by your dad or something. And I think about, like, the foot fetish, and I'm like, well, where does that even come from? Like, how does that even happen?
You know, you just asked the million-dollar question about all these things.
I am fascinated by, I really am by, I'd like to know from a foot fetishist, and there is no time for this today, but whether, like, does it really, like, does a thing happen to you to give you a foot fetish? Or when you turn, when the rest of us are 15 and staring at boobs or whatever, does that, is there a guy out there who's just like, and suddenly I couldn't take my eyes off Princess Leia's feet, you know? And it's, I really wonder about these things.
Well, I think these things sort of are a bolt out of the blue, and then suddenly you're transfixed. I mean, I can only imagine, but
I don't know.
Obviously, it's a strong, it's one of those life-governing compulsions.
See, no one else talks about these. That's what makes our conversation so exciting.
It's lively and fun.
It is.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's interesting, and one hates to. I would never condemn another person for whatever it is. That
no, not at all.
Their perpetual, the floats their boat or whatever. But it's just like, but I still can't resist. Professing my
mystery.
Yes.
No, that's what I'm saying. I have no, like, whatever your pleasure. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what people do.
Seriously.
But it is interesting. It does kind of fascinate me. I guess I could squeeze a little TV talk here. Real quickly, I have to tell you this. You stated that you felt the studio, and I'm going to repeat this, Studio 60 was losing its grip.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. The last two episodes are sitting on my TiVo unwatched, and I do, A, I've been very busy, but B, you know, no matter how busy, there was a time when I would make room for that show and or for Aaron Sorkin, and I do feel, not to be overly dramatic about this, that I'm beginning to emotionally distance myself from it because I feel like they're going to yank it away from me anyway.
You know what? I bet you that they'll stick with it for the season, if only because it has really, really good demographics in terms of rich, educated people
that's
who
true.
Advertisers love to talk to.
I suppose that's true. It's got to cost
unless like the bottom continues to fall out.
It's got to cost us so much money to make that show, though.
He's got to figure out that he's screwing something up there. He's not getting it right. And, you know, who knows?
When you say losing its grip, though, do you just mean ratings or content or both?
Yeah, all of the above.
You don't feel the show, you feel like he is losing his thread, as they say, his way. He's not he's not hitting the mark.
Yeah, I think that that first episode was killer.
Yeah.
And then it was like, because it set up all these serious questions about, like, you know, the ethics and the morality of TV and how can you be an artist and yet, you know, this whole question of art versus commerce and how can these two things coexist and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then all that kind of evaporated and now it's just a bunch of kind of backstage running around and...
Now it's a screwball comedy.
Yeah, like that last episode which centered all around... Like, somebody mistakenly stole, you know, someone else's 90 seconds of comedy, and now we have to break into the West Coast feed in order to do it live on the air, you know, to apologize and set it right. And I'm thinking, like, that's your show? And the B stories didn't, like, in the West Wing, the way that those little B stories always sort of reinforce the central theme of the show.
Sure.
Not happening here. It's way more random and way less...
I hate to say these kinds of things, but you do wonder... Sorkin himself will tell you that he's not a story guy, he's a dialogue guy. And B, I hate to say this, you got to wonder if he grew so used to writing on drugs. I'm not saying drugs make you a better writer, but I'm saying you grow used to working in a certain kind of condition.
Mm.
And you got to wonder if he is just flustered, intimidated, or just not, doesn't have his game together because he's not used to writing in this mental state. It sounds like a bad joke, but I think it might be true.
But we don't know what his mental state is.
I don't know.
What it used to be or what he is or isn't doing or where his life is right now.
That's a fair point. I did say to Joni DeDeRoshi about that first episode that, you know, the thing about that first episode is that it's like you talked about the first episode of The Shield where Vic Mackey did this thing that was totally out of character.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the season, the series has been different and trying to live that down, sort of. That's the problem with Studio 60 is, as I described it, that first 15 minutes was West Wing. The rest of it was Sports Night. You know, it started off as this great, powerful, gripping, like, you know, it made your heart race kind of drama. And then, you know, but it was like that was tacked on from another show almost. You know what I mean? It was like grafted on from some other script that he was working on.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, again, is just a screwball comedy and a will they or won't they kind of a, you know, kind of a sex comedy.
Well, that's the thing. The promo at the end of this week's show, you know, they trot out that NBC guy who's like, you know, who does the romantic things.
Right.
You know, two broken hearts be able to heal, them, you know, come together type of thing. And it's like, oh, screw you.
Seriously. Friday Night Lights is great, though. And you know what? I don't care if they cancel. I mean, I do care. But you know what? I'm going to follow that one at the bitter end. Yep. I'll watch it until they take it away from me.
Great show. Terrific show. Everyone should watch.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I'm a little short on time. Anything else fantastic, gripping, genius people should see?
I'm going to be doing a reading at Borders next Thursday night.
Really?
7 o'clock. So, yeah, definitely that.
Borders next Thursday for the Brian Wilson book.
Yep.
Fantastic, which I'm almost done with, which is great. So next Thursday, Borders, and if we have you on Monday, we'll talk about it then as well.
Yeah, we totally will.
All right, my friend Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian, online at OregonLive.com. Buy his new book, Catch a Wave. All right, thanks, man.
Hey, talk to you soon.
Later. There you go, Peter Carlin. We come back. We'll wrap it up. Talk to mailman Chris. This question, Rick, what kind of hat did you decide to buy? Well, we'll answer that question next on the Rick Emerson Show. Sound right. All right, so Rick Emerson program. We now enter the saddest part of the day. Blah, blah, blah. Saddest part of the broadcast today. Final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget. I'm not here tomorrow, but tomorrow it's Tim Riley, Sarah X. Dillon, Scotty J., and Tim Savage from the Timnasium. From 11 to 1, Tim Savage will be here in my stead while I'm in Seattle for the medical hair restoration procedure, that thing. We'll talk about that on Monday. And then from 1 to 3 tomorrow, Scotty J., who has been creating...
Scotty J., David Cassidy, you don't know what else
creating
to say.
Some best stuff. This email says... This email says, Rick, what kind of hat did you decide on? Do we get a picture of the hat? I still don't have a hat. Well, that's not true. Every guy with a band now, and I say this with love, every guy with a band, everybody with a group, with a CD, with a record, with a guitar, is sending me a hat. I got a Dry County Crooks hat yesterday.
Brad just wrote me and asked if you want any car hats.
No, thank you.
A lot of them.
A Mercedes hat I might take. So the Low gave me a hat. Dry County Crooks gave me a hat. The Texecutioners, I think, are sending me a hat. Stone Creep is sending me a beanie. So on Monday, the next time you hear from me, I'll be back from my medical hair restoration thing, and I'll be hatted up.
Yay!
But I've been bitching about this, that the new regional vice president is in town on Monday and Tuesday, and I got to have a lot of meetings where I pretend to be, I'm going to be sitting there with my, sitting there, can I speak as a manager? And then I'm just going to be with a stupid hat on my head.
Scratching your head.
Sitting there with no, but I mean, like, dressed.
You need some kind of jaunty newsboy cap or something.
With a press pass
or
stuck in the
nylon.
Well, it's like, and I don't dress badly now as such. I mean, I don't wear a tie, but I don't just wear ripped up jeans and t-shirts anymore. I dress sort of casual office attire, but it's going to be ruined by having a hat and a scabby head. So Sarah and I may go hat shopping on Sunday if I'm back in time. And if I'm not all doped up,
I'm going to the coast.
Well, you know, the thing is, they load me up on painkillers, too, apparently, afterward. Because I asked the guy, I'm like, does the medical hair restoration, does it hurt? And he's like, well, obviously not. It's like, we give you topical anesthetic. And I said, well, what about afterward? He's like, well, it feels like a bad sunburn for a couple of days.
Ooh.
So, but they give me, no, but I think they're going to give me some pain pills.
A sunburn on the head does not feel good.
No, you know, but it all feels good if you're on pain pills laying in bed. Having your feet broken will feel good. Being hobbled will feel good. Scotty J., but you are preparing your best ofs for tomorrow.
Prepared.
They're done.
They're done.
Now can you and you and Sarah and Tim will still be here. You'll be doing the couple hours with Tim Savage.
Yeah, Tim, Scotty, and Sarah.
Tim, Chiru. And then you'll.
I got a great story for him. He can talk about sod. Planting and sod, you know.
And then you guys, it's sort of a Don and Mike thing where you guys are sort of introduce the best ofs, right?
Yeah.
Can you give a little hint as to what they are? You want to hint a little bit?
Got a couple of contests in there as part of the best of.
Into the best of.
Yep.
Oh, you know what? And there's still one more pair of OMSI. You got so have Savage do
that
tomorrow.
We'll figure that out.
And it's Return of the Jedi and blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
All right. Don't use the pop culture course, though. You got to find another way. That's mine. I'm saving that. It took us forever to put that together.
It took us forever.
Took you forever.
All right.
Is one of these people Mailman Chris?
That's me.
Hello, sir. How are you, my friend? I didn't get anything done.
It's okay. Neither did I. Don't worry about
Excellent.
It.
Excellent. Fantastic.
I didn't get started on my route until 1:30, so.
All right.
But you got Scotty J smarter than a pet. News. The Darwin Watch, and you didn't play the intro, but I believe it was the Democracy on the March.
Yeah, we did the thing, but not the thing.
So you didn't get the Week in Geek. You didn't get the interview with Corey Lytle.
No.
Or Lytle.
No, I didn't.
Things that you should cut with a saw. Didn't get Dane Cook, and still didn't get Snuffwatch.
You didn't get Dane Cook.
I did not get Dane Cook.
You talked about him. Does that count?
I talked about him. Does that mean, is that what
and it is? Why even, they haven't returned
I
your call?
Even I wouldn't try to pull that
they
off.
They didn't return your call?
Hey, I got an email from a furry. Oh, but I don't have time to talk about it. This is not a guarantee. I guess it is. I got an email from a furry answering the questions. This is so
What's
great.
What's a furry?
You know the difference between a furry and a plushie, don't you?
No.
We'll talk about it Monday then, Sarah. Okay, I'm going to write this down. Being a furry. All right, so I got like 100 push-ups, right?
So there's like 5 that you didn't get to. You were at 48. That would put you at 53. You know what? You're going to be going through some cathartic pain this weekend.
Thank you, sir.
I think we'll just leave it at 48. I think the scalp pain is worth 5
push-ups. I'll be doing push-ups with my scalp.
They'll be pushing up something on your scalp.
Yes. No, it's fine. I'm looking forward to it. I am. So
is there ever a time in this procedure where the hair just doesn't take?
Why you gotta jinx me like that? Why you gotta do that?
I'm just asking.
No.
I don't want you to be sad if it doesn't.
You know, they have sunburn cream out there, too.
Shut your hole about what they have. You got beaten by an 11-year-old girl in a spelling bee, Scotty J.
Yes,
Sarah, are you going to be there tomorrow night?
I am.
Excellent. Well, we'll see you there then.
Okay, right. Sounds good.
Have a good weekend, man. We'll talk to you on Monday, Chris.
We'll talk to you Monday.
There you go. Oh, are you calling Savage tomorrow?
Do you guys want me?
Yeah. You should. Call Savage.
We need some continuity.
Top of the 11. Yeah, I don't want people to think it's like a whole different show. So you should call Savage
call
at the top.
At 11 and then call back at like 1.
Call back at like a little before 1, yeah.
Before 1.
All right, thank you.
Excellent, thanks.
There you go. All right. Okay, so there you go. So I am gone tomorrow. I'll be back Monday. So tomorrow, yeah, you give away the OMSI stuff with Tim Savage. You'll be a good job. He's going to do fine. Well, Tim, you sound like a solid young man. Welcome to my world.
Oh my God, you haven't done that
I
so
haven't.
Long.
No, I can't. I got to get the music. And there you go. All right, Scotty J, final thoughts?
No, I think it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Spell advertisement.
ADVERTISEMENT.
Very good.
Good job.
You're coming
That's
right along.
That means money.
No, what it is? It's because this is the thing. It's because
he was a salesman,
and I'm forcing you. To grow your mind by not using spell check and by not writing things down. Mm. Spell anoint.
It's painful. I'm going to say A-N-N.
Okay, well, never mind. Nobody's perfect. All right. Timnasium, sort of honorary edition tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Rick Emerson Show, guest hosted by Tim Savage from the Timnasium. We want to thank Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, Lisa Goddard, Scott Daly. And Peter Carlin, who all joined us. They went an action-packed show, this was. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the loving and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. News director is Jim Riley, and our PA is Scotty J. Manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is Dave Zinn. Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., the show returns. I'll see y'all on Monday. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening to the best of Grenadine. Bye.